Good evening and welcome to Connection Q&A. We're live in the studio for an hour with Skip Heitzig, Senior Pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque. Skip is here to answer your questions about tonight's teaching. Call now, 505-338-5790, or call the toll-free number from outside the Albuquerque area, 1-866-730-4921. That's 866-730-4921. And now, Connection Q&A.
Welcome to the Connection Q&A with Pastor Skip Heitzig. I'm your host, Brian Nixon. Joining us on this special broadcast is, well, I guess it's okay to say, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, who was with us today at the Alert Conference here at Calvary of Albuquerque. Kalim, it's a blessing to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here in your turf, and it's an honor to speak on a subject matter, too.
Yes, before I turn it over to Skip, let me go ahead and give the numbers out. If you have a question for Kamal, just give us a call at 338-5790. That's 338-5790. Or you can call toll-free at 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Of course, if you're on the Internet, you could always join us by going to connectionradio.org and follow the link to Ustream. And for those of you familiar with Ustream, just go to Ustream, type up Skip Live, and you will see Skip and Kamal smiling.
And Brian.
Well, Skip, you can't see it, but I'm hiding here in the...
Now, why is that, Brian? We need you in the camera. At least put your mug a little bit over this way just for a moment.
Well, because I wanted to make sure we got Kamal Saleem in this particular frame, and so you both are coming in clearly.
But what if you just move a little bit this way and just smile? Say hi to the the viewing audience.
We are willing to share.
There you are. There's a little bit of your head.
There I am. So you just go to Ustream or connectionradio.org, and you could join us live as well on the Internet.
You know, Brian, I think we're going to have a lot of activity tonight. This has been so fascinating, this conference today.
It really has.
And Kamal kicked it off. And intense won't even come close to scratching the surface of his personality. Here's a man whose whole life was given to give his life. I mean, he was willing to die for the sake of a lie.
That's right.
And then he's come to the knowledge of the truth, which I don't want to steal his thunder, because when he gives his testimony, I was just listening to him for the last 20 minutes. And I tell you, you know, when he came from a lie to truth, now his life is consumed in living for the one who died for him. Mm. And it was powerful this morning.
Really was.
And I think it's going to be great. We want people to call in their questions about Islam, about the Islamic world, about the Middle East, because you've got a guy on the air that can answer it intelligently. He comes from that part of the world. He was part of a terrorist organization, actually a few of them, including the PLO. Is that right?
Yes, the Muslim Brotherhood and the PLO.
Wow.
Amazing. It really was. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Skip. It was a wonderful conference, but specifically hearing your testimony and the passion that you gave forward was truly a blessing.
Thank you, Brian.
Once again, 338-5790 is the number to call. If you're calling toll-free, 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921.
Hey, Brian, I've got a question before we get to questions.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
I have in front of me a Starbucks cup. Does that mean you went out and bought a Doppio Macchiato? That's what this is, by the way. I can identify it. Did you buy this for me?
Skip, I wish I could say I did, but you know our good friend Chip Lusco snuck in here and he put a, what do you call it, a Doppio Macchio?
A Doppio, think of, it's Italian. Think of the Godfather. It's a Doppio Macchiato.
Okay.
This is something the family would want you to drink.
A Doppio Macchiato.
And what a blessing. I want to just thank Chip for that.
Thank you, Chip. Chip is a wonderful man, and he remembers your coffee of choice.
Yep. Now, I loved it.
But, you know, you being Austrian and German, you're drinking an Italian drink. You should drink...
I've been enlightened. The Germans make good watches, good lenses, but they don't do good coffee.
I attest to that.
See, we have a guy from Arabic descent here, from Lebanon. He knows about Turkish coffee. We were talking just about that.
My mother is Turkish, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
Yes. My mother is Turkish and my dad is Lebanese.
Is that your favorite coffee?
I absolutely love it.
See?
You know, in our side of the world, the ambulance attendant, you know, when they come in, they don't use CPR or the electric mechanism to revive somebody. They just open their mouth and put two shots of Turkish coffee.
That's great.
I'm a tea drinker. I'm a little out of place here. I've got two against one because I'm a tea drinker.
We'll convert you.
Well, it might be the other way around. 338-5790 is the number to call. 1-866-730-4921 if you are calling from out of town. But we do have some questions. And this is Christine calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Christine. You're on Connection Q&A.
Hello.
Are you there, Christine?
Are you there?
Yes, we are. Go for it.
Christine, are you there?
Nope,
we hear you loud and clear, Christine. Can you hear us?
Oh, good. I thought I had lost you. I'm sorry.
Nope, you are on live right now. You're on with Pastor Skip and Kamal.
I have a question, and my question is the, John, help me, please.
Yes, you may.
Is the New Age movement tied into the Islamic religion, and if it is, how?
Well, if I may answer that, here's the truth. You know, Islam, today they say, you know, we are part of the people of the book. And when they say part of the people of the book, which is the Jews and the Christians and the Muslim, which is they believe to say we worship the same God. And although the Muslim, you know, Islam today, Islam came specifically to challenge Judaism and Christianity, tell them that you are lies, that you are a liar, and we're here to abrogate you. So therefore, the teaching of Islam, as a Muslim at one time, we did not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We did not believe that he is Son of God. We did not believe that he is, you know, the deity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We did not believe, if anything, and to call, you know, theirself as part of this, you know, and then they take you and tell you, you know, we believe we are part of the book. It is a New Age movement.
You know, we were talking a little bit a while ago, Kamal, about Baal worship. Let's even go, since we're talking about spiritual things, let's go all the way back to the worship of Baal and tell us your tie-in, your take on Islam and the worship of Baal, Baal.
Yes. You know, the history of Islam, it's really pre-Islam. Muhammad did not bring something new. What Muhammad did, he took everything that is over there and he said, there's no statues, there's, you know, Allah doesn't have, you know, physical body, and he destroyed everything and he moved Baal from earth to the heavens. But in all this, you know, the God that was worshipped by the Quraysh tribes and the Arabian tribe, his name was Hubal. Hubal was a god that made out of, you know, a precious red stone, and his right arm was a golden arm, which is, that's where how the Muslim called theirself the right hand, hand of God. And with this, when the Muslim worship, the Arab worshipped that god, if you break it in Arabic to two syllables, the first syllable is hu, and the second one is Baal. His name was, he is Baal. You know, I am that I am in Christianity, in Islam, he is Baal, you know, in the Arab world. But with this, in Baal's arm, there was that meteor stone that fell out of the heavens, and that meteor was put in his arm, in his hands. That stone, it was black with red speckles and yellow speckles, and it was you know, amazing to that the Arab world that even when Muhammad became a prophet, he took that stone, and what did he do? He put it outside on the Kaaba, which is in Mecca today, where the Muslim still goes round worship seven times round that Kaaba, just like in old days. Before Islam, they still do the same thing, and they still worship that stone. They kiss it, you know, and worship it because Muhammad put it there and asked them to. So therefore, Muhammad, you know, himself, you know, when he came over there at that time, at one time, he commanded the Muslim to pray for the three gods, which is Allati wal Uzza wal Munat. Allati wal Uzza wa Munat were the god of the moons, the mother and her two daughters, and they put it before Baal to be married to him. And today, if you look at the Muslim world and ask them, what is the crescent and the star for? The star is still worshipped today. It is the falling star that fell out of heaven at one time. And this crescent is the new dawn of the new era of the coming of this religion that's trying to abrogate everything else. So many Muslims, they don't understand that themselves, because many Muslims don't understand the Quran. And what they do, they read it because they were ordered to, but they have never came to understand what it means, and they read it unconsciously.
You mentioned that the star was worshipped. Is it worshipped today in Islam?
Absolutely. And it's the falling star.
So the falling
meteor.
Star, we think of that being biblically inclined. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, morning star?
Yes. And that's exactly when you step outside of Islam and you look at Islam at whole, many of the Muslims, they have no understanding of all this. I mean, 2 Peter said the God of this world has blinded them, mm-hmm. that they do not see or hear unless the gospel of good news reach them, and now they are open to see and hear.
Hmm.
So with this, many of the Muslim, they have no idea what they're dealing with until they step outside. Here's a challenge for me as a Muslim at one time. I worshiped that God, and I was willing to die for him, and I went to many battles where all my brother get killed except me. And that God that I served, he never spoke to me. I never heard his voice. I never seen anything from him, not even dreams or visions. But when I stepped outside of Islam, when I heard the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to me, and now I've seen the God of heaven and earth coming to earth, speaking to somebody who is insignificant, and I was very special to him. The difference between Islam and Christianity at one hand, God has died for his people because he loved them. For God so loved the world that he gave the essence of love, his only begotten son, and that gift gave on given. Hmm. On Islam, you have to be a servant. You have to be a slave. Nothing pleases Allah by any mean form or shape. You are slave to him, and he is in charge. He does not care what you think or what you do. He's a God of war. So therefore, as a Muslim, you have to obey. Even the Quran, speak. In the Quran, it says in the surah, in the ayah, it says, وَكُلُّ مِنْكُمْ وَارِدُهَا. Every Muslim must and have to go to hell first before they go to heaven. I think Satan never lied to the Muslim. Hmm. He told them how it is. You're going to go to hell. You know, but he told them that Allah will have mercy on you and change your life. Except the martyrs. If you die for the sake of Allah and you give your blood for Allah, you become the Messiah for your people.
Wow.
And how's that? First, you can save 70 of your immediate people. 70 of your immediate people, you became an intercessor for them to take them to heaven. And the second one, you get 72 version. With every version, you get 72 version. All you can eat.
Hmm. Wow.
Absolutely.
What a history lesson that was.
It really was.
What a difference too, Brian. I mean, here he's just sort of cast the difference. In with Christianity, it's a God who gave his life for his people. In Islam, he calls his people, Allah calls his people to give their lives for him.
That's right.
But then there's no payoff. There's just punishment.
He really defined the difference between a relationship and a religion.
A false one at that.
That's right.
Let me share this. When I met Jesus Christ for the first time, the first encounter with him ever, and I said, I will live and die for you, my Lord, just as I was said to Allah, I will do. And at the time, the Lord said, he said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
Hmm.
Today, that victory, that freedom is given to us that we don't have to live in bondage. Now, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus that set us free from the law of sin and death.
Kamal, you grew up with a hatred for the West. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And a hatred for Israel.
Absolutely.
And part of your training was to kill and to even be willing to be killed. Tell us just briefly what that was like, to what your mindset, what you thought when you thought of Israel, when you thought of the United States, and some of the things you were planning to do.
this is very important. What the West must and need to know is this, that many of the jihadists today, they are not, you know, one night waking up and going to say, I'm going to be a jihadist tomorrow. This is a doctrine. This is a, from the time of conception, when a child is born, he is poisoned a little bit at a time. I remember when my mother said to me, my son, if you kill a Jew, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah. And this is my mother who loves me. You know, and if you kill a Christian, you have to, he has to give you a reason, and then you kill him. And many Muslims will come and argue with me, no, the Quran never said this, we never do this. If you read the Quran, over 164 verses in the Quran, it says, kill your enemy.
The
even Muhammad says, cut their right hand off and their left foot off, that everybody may know that they are ashamed. You know, and these are the hadith. The hadith is the Sharia law. And the Sharia law is the constitution of Islam. And if a Muslim tells me this is not true, then Muhammad is lying. So who is lying? You know, and this is what we got to look at this. So when you grow up and now you are recruited by the Muslim Brotherhood and they're teaching you every form of hatredism. In 1924, the Khalifa would dismantle, you know, in by the Western world. In 1928, a new group rose and it's called the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood carried the Khalifa behind the scene. Their job is to carry up and lift up the new Khalifas and usher Islam. That's number one. Number two is basically the teaching that I got, that if anyone is not a Muslim, their life belongs to you. If anyone is not a Muslim, then, you know, their country belongs to you. Now, the Muslim says, well, Quran speak about peace, and this is not true. That's very true. The first year, 10 years of Muhammad was about peace. Muhammad taught peace in Mecca. And after he left the Medina, he abrogated everything.
Because
by
he
the
was
law
rejected? Was that because he was rejected in Mecca?
Correct.
And so that then he turned a different direction.
To the sword. And then even Allah, in the Quran, you see, in Christianity, God said he knows the future from the beginning. He knew everything because he wrote the story. But in the Quran, what we learned, that God changed his mind because he understands better. And what he said before, it does not apply in the future. So therefore, Allah changed his mind. And you come to that and you go like, well, wait a second. If God is so powerful and so understanding and he's the beginning and the end, then he must know everything if it's his story. So anyhow, you come to all those things, but you have to step outside of Islam. As last year, 6 million Muslims came to Christ. The same Christ that appeared to me appeared to them. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood goes and joined the PLO, and they said, now you have the power of the word, let's get the power of the sword. And now at the PLO, they teach you how to use drugs, how to train under drugs, and how to teach you infidelism, you know, is to kill, you know, the infidels and change the world.
Well, speaking about peace, didn't we have,
I was going to say, Steve McKee was on line three, and I think you just answered his question because he went away, and his question was, is Islam a religion of peace? Or they claim to be a religion of peace, but obviously you just went into that, and his question was answered. So, Steve, hopefully that did answer your question. If it didn't, you could always call us back. And for Christine, our first caller, hopefully that helped you as well. We're getting a great lesson on really some of the core teachings of Islam.
And I want to bring something up to our guest, Brian, if I may. You know, he mentioned a couple times abrogation. That's a key factor that is so foreign to our Western thinking. We think that when you say something, you said it. It's not going to change. Christianity and Judaism, Judeo-Christianity, the God that we serve is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and today. In Islam, it's not the case. And I want to quote something. I think abrogation, is it called nasakh? Is that right? Okay, so here is one Muslim scholar said this, and then I'm going to ask Kamal to comment on it. He said, God is absolutely free and unrestricted, even in the realm of truth. He is free to abrogate the truth of earlier revelations by subsequently revealed truths. He is free to judge the same act as good in one circumstance and evil in another according to the situation. Well, you know, I hear that and I go, well, that explains a lot. How could one who claims to know any kind of God do the sorts of things that radical Muslims do. But when you understand abrogation, mm-hmm. you understand that what was called evil at one time can now be deemed under the same banner as something good.
That's very true. But let me go further than this. Muhammad was fighting the Meccan. The Meccan rose against him, and now he rose an army from Medina. Mm. And he met them, you know, Medina, it used to be called Yathrib. And, you know, and he met them out there. And Muhammad asked one of his men, and this is in the surah in the Quran, if you want to know where it happened, it's called Al-Ahzab. You know, and Al-Ahzab, you know, this is where the story took place over there. And Muhammad asked one of his guys to go and be spy on a Meccan. And this man said to him, well, Muhammad, if I do something like this, you kill people like me if they talk bad about you. That's what he said to him word for word. And Muhammad said to him word for word, he said, whatever you say, whatever you do, for the sake of Islam, it's forgiven to you. So you can go and lie over there and be the spy that you're supposed to be and do everything. And that doctrine is called al-taqiyah. And al-taqiyah means it's almost like a reverence. It's a reverence of the religion. So you revere Allah by doing, you know, you lie about something to make things correct for Allah, for the sake of Islam. So today, this is a hadith by Muhammad. Hadith is a sharia. Sharia is a law. Law is a constitution. So many Muslim, when they tell you in the United States of America, we worship the same God. We are people of peace. You have to understand that they are ordered to say so under that command in situation like this.
And their idea of peace is to subjugate you to Islam. Until they do that, there is no peace in their definition.
Well, Muhammad said in his hadith, in his word, by Sahih al-Bukhari, the fifth Sahih, and he said, the day will come about where the Muslim will knock on every door by the sword. And would not be one home left in the world was not knocked on. This is that's a hadith by Muhammad. So when you look at this and you go like, wow. So they are commanded to change the world. Today, they are trying to, you know, to the Muslim Student Association at the universities. They are the most dangerous association. The most dangerous association because you pay millions of dollars to send your children to university. And now when they go over there, they push them, tell them, it's religion of peace. We are your friend. We're this and that. And now the students are confused, but they are not revealing the other agenda. Islam many times teaches you only reveal what you need to reveal in that time. Do not reveal the rest. So now you get them in, you recruit them. And once they become in, you start teaching them.
So let's get this straight. In Islam, what you're saying is that they encourage their followers to lie, just straight up completely lie in order to propagate the religion at any cost. So it is what you had said, Skip.
Even to kill.
To kill and lie or anything to propagate the religion, which is a characteristic of Allah. Ultimately, because Allah has said, or this theologian has said, Allah changes almost at a whim.
Well, in Christianity, and what's so fascinating to me as a former terrorist, Jesus said in the book of Luke in 6 and Matthew 5, he spoke specifically, he said, love your enemy. Mm-hmm. Pray for those who hate you and bless those who persecute you. Mm. When you look at this, he even spoke about people like the Muslim. He said, blessed are the poor of the spirit. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, because many Muslims are followers. Just they don't understand Islam. The only people who understand Islam in the Muslim world are the radical. Mm. And they consider the moderate as the people that they need to be evangelized because they have not understood Islam. And that's why, you know, the latest movement by Al-Qaeda, by Hamas, by all this, trying to change the world and bring people to radical Islam to bring a true Islam. Mm-hmm.
So that's an important distinction. Is it true then that just like in Judaism or Christianity, you have Orthodox Jews, you have liberal, moderate Jews? I'm sure that in Islam there are peaceful thinking Muslims, but it sounds like they're not the Orthodox Muslims. They're more moderate and liberal.
That's a very good question. There's three levels of Islam. You have the radical, and you have the moderate, and you have the reformers.
Reformers.
I am a reformer. I reformed. I came out of Islam, and I make the difference today because I lived that life. And this is the truth that I lived. Then you have the moderate. You have two kind of moderate right there. The moderate over there, you have some of them who calls themselves moderate and those who are really moderate. And you have to know which is which because many times the moderate play the good cup.
Bad cup.
While the radical are playing the bad cup. Uh-huh. And this is how they push Islam into the country. We are not bad guys. We are for you. We will fight with you and do everything. And now we're investing in them. But in all truth, they're empowering Islam. Now, the other kind of moderate Muslim, and that's how you can tell that they're if they're true Muslim, you know, a true moderate Muslim. What we need to hear from them, what we need to see from them, they're carrying the American flag, crying out with a loud voice, Allah bless America. We want to see that bumper sticker on their automobile to say, we love this country and we will live for this country.
You'll never see it.
But many times when the radical do something, just like recently, you know, the Obsession, the movie, went out there. CARE, a group, you know, Council American Islamic Relation, which is they really don't care, you know, sued, you know, everybody who distributed those movies. Why are they doing something like this? And this is an organization considered herself moderate Muslim. Hmm. They're not radical. And Ahmed, you know, the head of the organization, said word for word, he declared and decreed that Islam is here in America to take over America, that the Sharia law will become the law of the land, and the Quran will be the book of the land, and he declared this. So now, if this is what moderate Islam is all about, I say, if you really don't like this country, if this country is causing you a heartburn, maybe going back home, it's a good thing, you know, because you will not have that issue over there unless you are here on a mission and your mission is to destroy this country. Then we know who you are. Mm-hmm. If you don't rise for this country and say, I love you and stand for you and stand out there and do something special about this country, then you're not saying anything to us. Then you are hijacked or you allowed yourself to be hijacked because you are a conspirer too.
How many in Islam, give me a percentage if you can, to your best estimation, how many would you say are radical?
Statistics shows out of 1.5 or 1.6 billion Muslim, statistics shows by the Pews and by the CIA.gov, it shows 15 to 18% are radical Muslim.
And that translates if you have 1.3 billion, you
let's,
say?
Let's say 1.5. Let's keep it at 1 billion. Let's forget about there's more or less because they will argue with you on this.
Okay.
That is right there. 100 million radical.
Okay, think of what two did on September 11th in concert with 20 others. Imagine 100 million?
100 million.
Radical is jihadists.
Their view is if you are not Muslim, then you must be killed. You don't deserve to live.
And their stated goal is to come here and to take over.
Well, Islam is commended. You know, Muhammad said, word for word in his hadith, he said, أَتَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيْنْتَهِ غَرِيبًا. Islam came as you know, stranger, and one day will disappear as a strange religion. It will never show up again. But he commended them in that time. He said that to make the difference and where Islam must dominate the world. Today you see imams, you see, you got to understand what the Muslim are saying in Arabic and not what they're saying in English. Because when you hear them in English, they tell you what you need to do. But when you go to the mosque on Friday, and I've been to many mosques listening to them, they are cursing this country. They speak in hexes and vexes. And they prime, you know, they telling the other a hate message. And you hear it in many, many mosques. When you go sit down and listen to that, because they're speaking it in Arabic. But when somebody asked them in English, what are you saying? The message changed completely.
Now, Kamal, there's something that I've heard before, and I want to get your take on it. When I've asked Muslims about jihad, the idea of struggle, it seems like they like to guise the jihad as we typically in America think of it as a war. behind, they say, well, jihad is simply a struggle, and the greatest jihad is our struggle against the world system and the temptations of the world. And sure, there is in some cases a warlike jihad, but really it's a lesser jihad. The real jihad is our struggle against the flesh, basically, as we would call it. Have you heard this?
Well, of course, you know, and that's a study answer. You know, I mean, all of us, every day, we war against flesh, our flesh, you know, all of us.
Yes.
But if that's the true case, if this is the true meaning of jihad, then Muhammad, what he did and what he called people to jihad was a lie. It's not real. Mm. Because when he rose, you know, when he sent his messenger and they came on a horse and the cry out was, ilal jihad, ilal jihad, ilal jihad, ilal jihad, to war, and every Muslim understand what jihad means. Mm. But now when you're in front of camera or people of this nation, statistics shows when Islam is at 2% or less, you know, they will not cause a commotion. In the United States of America, the Muslim are 0.6%. So we have about 7.5 million Muslim in here. About 1 million in adult and 7, you know, do the other rest of the number, you know, 6.5 in young men and women. Hmm. At that time, in the teaching of Islam, they learn not to say anything or do anything, but to work their way through everything. You got to understand, many times, when the termite invade your infrastructure or your foundation of your house, it doesn't tell you I'm invading your home. It walks into your home and starts eating on your wood. And keep on eating and eating. And if you don't get clear message from that, then one day your home will fall apart. Hmm. So America really need to wake up, because this is a true and serious thing for the Muslim as jihad. You know, and to the American, they are confused. They don't know what's real and what's not.
Yes, and I have a question, but actually Ron has the same question I have. So Ron, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you are on Connection Q&A.
Yes, gentlemen. General Boykin said today that the government is not going to fight, is not going to combat jihad in this country. It's going to fall to the body of Christ to do that. How do we do that?
Oh, please.
Yeah, okay. That was my question. How are we as Christians to combat what all you're describing here? That's pretty,
first of all,
pretty luminous.
Address that first part when he said that the government, is it our country, is our government inept, or are they willingly just turning their eye away from the evidence?
Well, there's mix and match. You know, the Wahhabi government of Saudi Arabia is pouring billions. In the last decade, they poured over $30 billion into the United States of America. Some of those are going into lobbying. Lobbying, many people who they really believe in diversities and believe in multiculturalism, you know, and believe in, you know, like, let's live together, happy place.
Coexist.
You know, coexist. Then what happened there is they are taking the Wahhabi money and trying to move that agenda forward, resulting 120 curriculum, schooling curriculum from the universities all the way to kindergarten, teaching about Islam today, that's telling the American people that Islam is religion of peace. And now that money is satisfying a lot of the lobbyists out there and a lot of our people in high places that they really don't care about Christianity to begin with. So this is plus plus for them. Number two, our dependency on oil, it's very vast. So when our president stands there in the White House and he says, we worship the same God and Islam is religion of peace, and he reads a peaceful surah out of the Quran, ayah out of the Quran, then he did not read the rest. And the thing that he does not know, he read this, but he did not know that the new abrogated the old, which is the war came about. So now we are being invaded by the lack of knowledge. The Word of God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Right.
We got to understand that, you know, many times when somebody like me speak, and all of a sudden the bad guy rises up and they start calling him liar, a deceiver, you know, he's not telling the truth and what so have you. When I was a terrorist at one time and I want to take your children, destroy your country and do everything, I was their beloved. Huh. Now I'm the enemy of the state. Why? Because many people, they don't want to come and face that truth. You know, the truth is, you know, the first and second commodity in the United States of America, the first one is alcohol, the second one is mattresses. America loved to drink, America loved to sleep. You know, we got to face everything. We got to look at things as real. We could not tell our children fire is not real. Because the next thing they're dead and it's, we killed them. And if America doesn't do its, go and start learning about all this, one day we're going to lose our future and our generation because we allowed them to.
So speak to that. So the second part of the question is, what, as believers in the body of Christ, are we to do? Obviously, we need to be informed, but what else can we do?
Well, when Jesus came, Jesus was not ashamed, or he didn't know that, he never thought to himself for a second, I don't know who I am. Jesus knew who he was. He said, I am that I am. When he went to the Jewish temple, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he declared over there, and they almost killed him, sent him over the cliff, but he walked through them. The word of God in Jeremiah said, do not fear, fear not. Because if you fear, if you're terrified, I will terrify you before them. And I will be with you and I will give you victory right there. As a Christian, we got to understand and know who we are. Are we Christian or are we not sure? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, in a corporate USA, anytime when you're in a corporation, when you come to that business, you know what your opponent is up to, so you can compete with. And every American knows that because we are one of the best countries in competition. But when it comes to our faith, we lack because we don't know what our religion said, so we don't know what the other religion said, so we shy away. We got to come understand what is Islam all about. Number three, we got to come and start knowing, knocking at their door, letting them know, welcome to our country, in a way to let them know that we are here and we are watching you and we are with you to help you if you need our help. But if you come in to hurt us, we will be there to make sure you can't. As a Christian, the word of God says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The power of our Christianity is to pray. Second Chronicles said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and return from their wicked way, then victory is given to them. So we must pray. And Jesus broke bread with the tax collectors, with the Pharisees, with the Roman soldiers, with the prostitutes, with the lost people. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to him, you're eating with the sinner. He said, I came for them. You are righteous. You are self-righteous. In all this, we must knock on their door and start breaking bread with them.
I like that. So not isolating ourselves,
no.
Integrating with them, becoming their friends, showing them love, articulating our faith,
that's
letting
right.
them see our faith in our lives.
Jesus said, the greatest commandment I give you, that's on the top of the Ten Commandments, is that you love one another, that everybody may know that you are mine. And the word of God says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We must start testing ourselves and put things to the test. And then the testing will become the essence of our faith, which is our testimony. And when we take them something, don't take them meat. Take them something sweet. Because meat may be a pork to them.
Right.
But if you take them something sweet, they would love that. Knock on their door. But when you knock on their door, you are not knocking in there to just evangelize them and leave. You are there for a relationship. You are there to tell them that you love them, just like you said, Pastor. And also to let them know, if you have a need, I am here for you. You become the word of God that walked among them. And now that word shows itself to them. Because the Muslim are thirsty and hungry. And for many years, they wondered if Islam is true.
Mm-hmm.
So when something happened like this and somebody said, I am sick, and you pray for them and they have instant healing. Or when you pray for them and they have visitation in the middle of the night. And when you do something and they have breakthrough. Then you show them the truth about if your God is real and if he walks before them. Now they surrender to that love. Mm-hmm. They're not going to surrender to hate. If you tell them you're a Satanist, they're going to run away from you and say, you are the Satanist. Mm-hmm. But if you tell them you are the children of God and you are my cousins, you are the children of Abraham, you are my cousin through birth, and now you make friendship. Mm. The word of God says a good word turn away wrath.
Beautiful.
That's right. Some great insights. And hopefully that helped you, Ron. We do appreciate your call. Listen to Connection Q&A. We have one of our Ustreamers. This is Ustreamer 62821. And they have a question for you, Kamal. And it says, do Muslims believe in heaven? And how do you go to heaven according to Islam?
Great question.
Thank you for asking this question. And I would advise you to ask question as much as you can, because if nobody can answer the question, then what is their agenda? Yes, the Muslim do have, heaven, and they call it, they refer to it as paradise. Although the Muslim paradise is everything that is forbidden on earth is applicable up there. So it has multiple, it has alcohol, it has flying beds, it has fruit, like as the Muslim Brotherhood taught us, when you look at the bird upon the heaven and you are hungry, it fall down in three flavor. It barbecued, grilled, and roasted. Hmm. Then you have all, the reward for the men and not for the women is all the women you can have. The more you do, the better things you do for Allah, the more virgin women you'll have, a lot of virgin women. And with this, this is what they look forward, and like, for instance, one day my dad was talking about, jihad. And he said, if you die for the sake of Allah and you get 72 virgin women, and with every woman, you get 72 virgin women. And when I looked at my dad, I said, well, how about my mom? If she died, would she get 72 virgin men? My dad reached across the table and slapped me, and I fell and hit the wall. And my dad is a blacksmith, and his hand is stronger than concrete. And he said, you mock Allah with this. You don't ask what Allah doesn't give you. You only ask what God given you, and you highlight on this. So this is the paradise for, the Muslim. Today, on the other hand, they tell you, yes, the woman become, they have a reward, they become the virgin for that man. So the woman still... and what's the other part of the question? I forgot.
The other part was, you answered the first part, to Muslims believe in heaven. How do you go to heaven according to Islam?
Well, the Quran said word for word, وَكُلُّ مِنْكُمْ وَارِدُهَا. Every Muslim will have to go to hell first. Every Muslim. Even the Quran said, Muhammad said, I'm a sinner. Everybody is a sinner in Islam. The only one is without sin, according to the teaching of Quran, is Jesus Christ. The Quran said only Jesus is without sin. Oh. But the rest, all of them are with sin. So according to the work of Allah, according to, the surah, it's al-zilzula, which is the earthquake, and it says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا شَرًّا يَرَى. And when I said to my mom, what is that supposed to mean? My dad came and he said, Allah will hold the scale. And he will take all your good work and your bad work, and he will weigh them. And based on your work, not on your faith or your belief, on your work, you either go to heaven or to hell. So therefore, nobody will go to heaven except the martyr without judgment. Everybody else will have to go before the throne of Allah and have to be judged. So with this, the martyrs, when they die, this is the promise of Allah and the promise of Muhammad that they will go to heaven without judgment, which is straight. The minute you die, the minute you go there.
So what on earth would be the motivation for a woman to convert to Islam? And tell you why I asked that. I saw a special on television. A woman from the West, so enamored with Islam. She said, no other faith gave me this rootedness in history and beauty. She was converting to Islam. But with what you just described, what on earth would be the motivation?
Well, the Quran never lied. The Quran never lied. It gave the power to man to correct his wife at any time. It even said, your woman is your ground, or tell her as you wish.
When you say it never lied, you mean it didn't hide anything?
No, it did not hide, but the Muslim never understood it either. Because even the Quran says, if your wife disobey you, to correct her. And you have the full right to beat her up and put her in her place. My dad put my mother and her in the bedroom, and he just arrested her over there. And she could not leave. My sister, my oldest sister, her husband beat her up to the point that she has to be hospitalized, brain hemorrhage. And according to law, nobody touched him. Why? Because it's his right. But does the woman have the right? Absolutely not. Let's examine that further. According to the Sharia law, which is the constitution of Islam, and it says, if a man did something wrong, all he has to do is bring two witnesses to clear himself. But if the woman did something wrong, she has to bring four witnesses. Let's say this man raped this woman, and this woman brought four witnesses, and this man brought two witnesses. These witnesses said, he never raped her. We are his brother. He was with us. And the woman, she brought four people. We heard her screaming, but you did not see her. No, but she came out bleeding, and he came running out of the house, but you did not see him rape her. No, but this is the evidence. This is not good enough. Now, he wins and she loses. Now, let's take it further. Let's say this woman got pregnant. Then this woman is to be stoned to death. And he walked free.
Okay, so again, answer my question. What would prompt a woman to convert to Islam based on that?
My people perish for the lack of knowledge. I'll say it again. You know, many times, here's what the problem with the West. The problem with the West, they are looking for a fix. If it's not marijuana or heroin or something like this, they want something supernatural, something that can enter their life. And I'll tell you what, enter the wrong place, you are inviting a lot of entry into your life that can change your life. Not long ago, the president, you know, of the United States of America, President Clinton, his wife was having, you know, a medium in the White House, conjuring spirit of the other president to come and speak to her.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do something like this, you're opening the gate of hell, you know, into your life without, you know, basically when somebody goes towards something like this, they lack wisdom. They lack wisdom abundantly, and that's the nicest way I can say it.
It seems to me, as I was listening to this gal, and probably a lot of fall into this category, that they love the idea of being spiritually connected and earning their way to heaven. And I think there's only two religions in the world, two beliefs, two camps. One is the camp of human endeavor, which all religious systems fall into that, or the realm of divine accomplishment, which is only the gospel, what God has done, finished act. Every other one, including this woman's desire, was to do something. I'm going to make Hajj. I'm going to make my pilgrimage to Mecca. I'm going to do these works. And she was enamored. It's a form of self-righteousness, isn't it?
It is. But there's more in here. When you look at the Bible, Jesus came and fulfilled the Old Testament, fulfilled everything the Jews said. Every prophecy was given to the Jews. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. And he came and he walked in that power. And further, he became the ultimate sacrifice, that we don't have to give sacrifice in our life so we can live in that freedom. Islam, on the other hand, as a Muslim, all your life you have to live and give offering, sacrificial offering for your sin. So therefore, all your life, you are the one who are crying, I am not worthy, I am not worthy, you know. And Jesus Christ died for us to give us freedom, that we don't have to live that bondage, that slavery. You know, honor killing today in the Middle East is one of the biggest things. It happened in the United States, three honor killing. The Egyptian man who killed his two daughters and ran away, and he didn't leave the United States. He is hiding here with the Muslim community. They're hiding him. And two other situations like this. What is honor killing? is against women. It's not against men.
Wow.
That's truly fascinating. And Ustreamer 62821, we hope that answered your question. We do appreciate you typing your question there on Ustream. We are going to go to Gary now, calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Gary. You're on Connection Q&A.
Well, thank you, Kamal. And I was at the conference today, and it was fascinating. I want to say thank you to you and Skip and the other gentlemen who participated today. It was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, Gary.
But my question is, what type of resources are available to better educate ourselves on Islam extremists? And are the websites or books, would it be wise to get a copy of the Quran and read it, or is that just not a good idea?
Boy, I'm glad Gary asked that question, Brian, because that was what I wanted to segue into. One of the things people can do in hearing Kamal is to get involved with his ministry. There's very few people who are willing, you know, he's not afraid. And I even ask him, are you afraid? He goes, no. I mean, here I was willing to die for the wrong reason. I'm willing to live, even if that means to the point of death. He's unafraid. I mean, he goes to campuses and Islam fundamentalists will stand up and shout him down. But he's got a lot of excellent resources. But I'm going to ask him to tell us about a website, about the resources, etc.
Jesus said, Paul said, in the Bible, he said to live is Christ and to die is gain. He came to understand that his life must count for something. And the first thing before we say what resources we have, we must ask ourselves, what is life? What is our life counts for? What is our purpose? We need to have vision and we have to have strategy. And our vision, once we know, all Christians have almost similar vision, different flavor. But the strategy is still the same way. You have to understand, reading the Quran is very good. And many times, when you read the Quran, you do not read what's between brackets. Because they abrogated the old and they brought the new. And the new deceive what the old has said. And that's what the Wahhabi government does. But the Quran never lie when you read it. If you read yourself, you get yourself educated. Number two, our website is www.koomministries.com. We have a Muslim nation that we pray for every 2 weeks. It's DVD. We put this nation and what their belief, what their faith, what everything. We have a book in our backyard, what the Muslim are doing and how they're doing it in the United States of America. And we even partner with many, many, many writers. You know, we bring their information that they brought together and we try to put it out there so people can read about those things. Now, reading is very good, but the essence of all thing is to pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do as you're reading all this? How do I go about it? Are you willing to live for the truth? And the engaging part is to engage God first and asking him to show you what to do with all this knowledge he's given you. Because sooner or later, you may see your ministry is waiting for you, ready to embrace you, that's been there all this time. So running to him, he imparts to us. He said, seek my face, knock on my door, ask of me. It is, you know, so come to all this. And then there's other place, you know, there's All About God. You know, they have a website, too, about Islam. It's very good website.
What
you
is that, All About God? Is that like .com?
Yes, All About God, either .com or .org, and it's powerful.
Okay, so I'm looking at this. This is on the back of your DVD, which I'm going to hold up right here as I talk about it. But it says Koom Ministries, and K-O-O-M-E, Ministries, plural, .com. What does Koom mean?
Kumi or Kum is it's plural and it's masculine and feminine. Kum is a word for arise. It's an Aramaic word. This is when Jesus Christ called Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, Kum, arise. Right. And when he went to Talitha, he grabbed by the hand, he said, Talitha, Kumi.
Ah.
Kum for a male, Kumi for the female. Our ministry is to arise God people, to arise them to the truth, the knowledge of radical Islam, to reveal the agenda, and also the sheer, you know, the first love that we, many of us, we forgot what it's all about.
So tell us, we have this little DVD called In the Red Chair, and then a book, In Our Backyard.
Correct.
Tell us about those.
In Our Backyard, this is was put by the same people who were in Ronald Reagan administration, the education administration. And our story is in there, and we helped them put this together. It is very powerful. It tells you how the Muslim are doing it in the United States, what's the name of the association, and how they lobbying. And also it tells you about how the Muslim invest 10% of their activities for, in, you know, for advancing Islam. Mm-hmm. You know, while Christianity, it just it shows only 2% are involved, which is, you know, and majority 80% are women and 20% are men.
They show us up, don't they, when it comes to giving as well as commitment?
Well, the Quran said, word for word, it commanded the Muslim. He said, if every Muslim must fight. If you could not fight, Allah will replace you with better Muslim. That's what the Quran said. And then thereafter, he will deal with you. And then the second one, he said, if you could not fight physically, you have to fight financially. The financial part, the advancing, you know, like your church, Pastor, we must invest in churches like this because they advance in the kingdom of God. And they are bringing people like us to reveal the agenda. And they are working with all people to bring truth, you know. And just like our red chair is how we started also with the with Muslim Brotherhood and, you know, and how with the PLO and then how God got hold of me.
So that's, it's your testimony on DVD?
70 Muslim came to Christ watching that DVD.
Oh, my. Beautiful.
So if you do want some more information, you're listening right now, just go to www.koomeministries.com. That's www.koomeministries.com. Or you could always go to coldwatermedia.com and they have your testimony here available.
Correct.
As well.
But if you go to our website, we have other resources too over there, many other resources like Farewell Israel, which is tells the history of Islam according to world history and reveal, you know, how it everything started. Then we have Islam, what the West needs to know. And then we have the movie Obsession, and then the New Barbarian training children to kill. All those that taking place in the Muslim world is revealed on those. And then we have multiple of books. If you go there, you can have variety, you know, of these.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so we encourage you to check out that website. Kamal, we appreciate so much you joining us this past hour in Connection Q&A. You really informed myself, and I know Skip.
I know, and what the fascinating thing is he's quoting Hadith's Quran. He's quoting it in Arabic, which is the language that is taught in
That's correct.
That's the way to read the Quran, is
Mazboot,
that right?
Mazboot, sahih.
That's right.
That's correct.
Yes, so I want to say shukran.
Afwan, ahla sahla fiq.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And once again, we want to let our listeners know to come to Calvary of Albuquerque tomorrow. We have Dr. Tim LaHaye for all three services. Of course, he spoke tonight as well. So you want to come 8, 9:30, and 11:15.
Correct.
If I may say this, please. I want to invite you, all my brothers, my Muslim brothers and sisters. The Quran did not lie, you know, when it says only Jesus without sin. And the Quran, also the Hadith, said that Jesus is coming back. Now, why would Allah want to change his mind and change Jesus from Christianity to Islam? I want you to think through this, and I want to invite you, as brothers and sisters, pray to Allah to speak to you, that he will reveal himself to you. And I'm sure the Quran told you he will never do so. But if you want to hear the voice of God, which is millions of Muslims are hearing the voice of God, give Jesus a chance and ask Jesus to your heart and if he's real to speak to you. And then, if you heard from him, send me an email. It's right there on Mukum Ministries. And if you didn't, tell me to. I would love to hear from you.
So we'll leave it at that. A challenge to the Muslims here in New Mexico. And go to Mukum Ministries to drop an email to let
Kamal
and the ministry know what Jesus did for you. So we thank you for joining us this past hour. Skip, Kamal, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Brian.
God bless you.
Brian.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Connection Q&A with Pastor Skip Heitzig. We'll be here live next Saturday night at 8 p.m., right after the evening service from Calvary of Albuquerque. You can still email your questions to knkt@calvaryabq.org or call them in live next time on Connection Q&A.